Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Diane B. I am a recovered compulsive eater from New York. Today is Tuesday, November 29th, 2022. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern meeting. Let's see. We are reading today from the Big Book. We're on page 45, second paragraph, which starts, well, that's exactly what this book is about, and ends with neatly evaded or entirely ignored. We're reading one paragraph only today. OA preamble. Oh, sorry, wait a minute. Reference numbers. Reference numbers for Monday, November 28th, 2022 at 10 a.m. was 19,683. That's 19683. And the share ID for this morning, Tuesday, November 29th at 7 a.m., is 19,685. That's 19685. Today's readers are the 12 steps. We have Shelley E. for 12 traditions. We have Alex K. for the text. We have Stephanie L. for page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We have Dana P. Newcomer greeter, Noel E. Announcements, Lois P. And thank you, everyone, for your service, and thank you for Team Tuesday for November. It's been a terrific month. Thank you so much. I need all the backup I can get. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, as OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So can Shelley, will you please read the 12 steps for us?
You bet. Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him. As we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do this service, and I pass.
Diane, we can't hear you.
Sorry, you can't hear me. I was telling Alex. All right, thank you. Alex.
Okay.
12 traditions, please.
Hi, everyone. Alex K. from California. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6. An OA group will never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to do service.
Thank you so much, Alex. Okay, let's see how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. In order to hear everyone clearly, please do not use the speaker function on your phone. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So now we're going to resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 45 in the second paragraph, and we're going to have Stephanie read to us. Thank you, Stephanie. Get us started.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service. And good morning, everyone. Stephanie L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. That means we have written a book which we believe to be spiritual as well as moral. And it means, of course, that we are going to talk about God. Here, difficulty arises with agnostics. Many times we talk to a new man and watch his hope rise as we discuss his alcoholic problems and explain our fellowship. But his face falls when we speak of spiritual matters, especially when we mention God. For we have reopened a subject which our man thought he had neatly evaded or entirely ignored. And when I first got here, I went to my first meeting and people talked about the spiritual aspect, okay, like it was a separate thing of this program. And I remember thinking to myself, you know what? I just want, give me the diet. I bought all the books. I wanted the diet because I came here to lose weight. I thought my problem was that I was 100 pounds overweight. I thought that if I could only lose the weight, everything would be perfect in my life. That my problem, right, was that I didn't have enough willpower, that I couldn't diet anymore, and that my problem was that I was like obese and overweight, right? But then I've learned that's not my problem, is lack of power, right? Lack of power is my dilemma, and the solution is a spiritual solution, right? I'm so glad I came back. I'm so glad that I didn't, you know, run away when I heard people talk about God. Like, what is, you know, what is this deal? And then here's the funny thing. Being here for years, right, I was that person in the room who would say, this big book is saving my life, or these steps are saving my life. Or sometimes I hear, you know, people will say, vision meeting is saving my life. That's not what this says, and that is not my experience, right? If my problem is lack of power, then I have to find a power greater than myself. And this book and these steps are designed to help me find that power. There's not a spiritual aspect of this program. This program is a spiritual program. It's a spiritual solution to my spiritual problem, right? Like, this whole thing is about me finding a God that isn't just going to, like, help me diet or even just help me put the food down. Because once the food is down and I wake up, I'm aware that I don't know how to live life. I don't know how to live life on my own, right? And I can have all the desire in the world, like, to not compulsively overeat or to live like it says here, you know, like, to live a better code or a moral, you know, to live by a certain code of morals in my life, you know, to do things differently. And I can't do that on my own. My human power fails me every single time. I need God. I need God every day. I need a spiritual solution every single day. And it's not like a one and done. It's not like, oh yeah, okay, I get it. It's I've got to find this power. It's like a daily thing. Sometimes I feel more connected than others. And, you know, today was one of those days, and I cannot wait to hear the rest of you all share today. Thanks for letting me be of service. I'll pass.
Thanks, Stephanie. Getting us going. That was great. So now, excuse me, now I'll take names of people who would like to share. Please give me your name, the initial of your last name, and the state that you're calling from, and I'll write them down.
Gen Z.
Ronnie B.
Gen B, Ronnie B. Star one to unmute.
Debbie,
I think Debbie P and somebody W from New Jersey.
Yeah, Meg.
Who is that from New Jersey?
Meg, M-E-G.
Meg, thank you, Meg W.
Yes.
Jen B, Ronnie B, Debbie P, Meg W.
Lisa J.R.
Lisa, and who is after Lisa?
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, let's stop there. That's a great lineup to start with. So I got Jen B, Ronnie B, Debbie P, Meg W, Lisa B, and Jordan L. And if you, when you share, please give me the state that you're from. We're going to start off with Jen B. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jen Z. I'm a compulsive overeater with a history of anorexia and bulimia. Good to be on the line this morning. Yeah, reading this paragraph, what comes to my mind is, you know, I grew up as a child in a religious family, and I believed very much as a child, I believed in God, and I had my grandfather was a minister, an Episcopal minister, and he was also an alcoholic, and we would go to visit them, and there would be, like, these crazy things that would happen when he's drinking, and then the next day, we'd go to church, and he'd get up on the pulpit, and he'd preach, and everyone was like, oh, you know, we love you, and you're so wonderful, and everyone's lauding him, and as a child, it was like, okay, this crazy person I saw last night, and then this, you know, and then he's in church now, and everyone loves him, and everything's great, you know, and it was just didn't match up for me, and that, and also when I was 10 years old, I started praying to God to kill me, and it was pre-suicidal days, and God, of course, didn't kill me. And, you know, I continued to live, and you know, there was a lot of pain. I was a lot of suffering and abuse and stuff. And so those two things kind of killed the God big for me. And when I came to program, you know, it was like, I never, you know, in the reading, it said their faces fall when we talk about God. And I can relate to that. Because, you know, that's how I felt. And, that is such a street. So when it said that I could have my own conception of a power greater than myself, that was the key for me. And I was like, okay, I can do this, because it doesn't have to be the God of my grandfather. It doesn't have to be the God of my childhood. It doesn't have to be that God I prayed to kill me, you know? It could be my own conception. And, like, I was redefining with my sponsor, like, what the characteristics are of my higher power, and redefining my higher power. And, you know, it gives me a freedom that I didn't have before. And, you know, this program, you know, finding my higher power, I feel like I found my higher power. It's just now, it's just maintaining that conscious contact with him. And I just say him and God, because it's just easier for me to say that. But yeah, so I don't know. That's what this paragraph made me think about, is just, you know, how it used to be and with God, and how it is now with God. And yeah, it's very important. So thank you so much for letting me share. I appreciate it. I hope everyone has a good day.
Thank you, Jen. Ronnie B., what state are you from, please, Ronnie?
Missouri.
Great.
Yeah, Ronnie, compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here. I love when we get to talk about stuff like this specifically. I love when Abby said, come up with your own concept of God as you understand him. And that is so critical for me. So, you know, I grew up in a Catholic religion, which is fine. You know, that's what my parents knew. That's what we did. There were pros and cons. I knew that even as a kid. You know, I knew, how could this all be happening, yet this happened. So as I grew older and got sober and clearer, and I started to look at step three, I was like, oh, my goodness. Now, that was a very long time ago. I didn't come into OA until I was sober a number of years, but that was 42 years ago. So naturally, over the decades, continuing to come back, my conception of God has changed. And it's been not just broader, but deeper. And, you know, the literature is clear that I need to continue to expand my spiritual life. And so I have my own conception of God. I don't ram that down anyone's throat, because what works for me may not work for them, and vice versa. You know, I was speaking at a meeting the other day, and I said about 2 months ago, I was in a face-to-face meeting, and I think I was frustrated, and I said, Jesus Christ, and some woman had the need to approach me and say, you know, in her religion, in her church, they don't say things like that. And, you know, I had to take a breath, practice the pause, and I said, you know what, take a look around. You're not in church. And so all I'm saying is, I don't believe we have a one-size-fits-all, but I do now have many other aspects of spirituality. I go on annual silent retreat. They're Jesuit-based. I'm good with that. You know, I go on spiritual retreats, not Christian-based, program-based, or Buddhist-based. They're all good for me. And so, you know, I have to remember that I get to choose that, and this program gives me the freedom to do that. But what I am needing, one of my sponsors years ago used to say to me, Ronnie, when you finish sharing any place, tell them where you need help. I need help, and to have more of an open mind to be able to draw on God. When I draw on God, particularly everywhere, right, but particularly around my food, my choices are different. And so I am just putting that out there, that that's an area where I need to continue and expand my spiritual growth. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ronnie. Next, we have Debbie P. And your state,
good
please.
Morning. Yes, my name is Debbie P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Indiana. This is a good paragraph. Let's see. I've been around this book for 27 years. I've known this book. I've known of this book. But I haven't studied this book until I started Envision in 2020. And, you know, its main objective is to help somebody, help us find a power greater than ourselves that would solve our problems. And one of the things that I'm learning is, you know, my old ways worked until they didn't work. And, you know, my new way is the program way of making things work, I guess. I don't make them work. My higher power does. And I know for years, being around this book and the program for years and years, I would just get prickly when the name God was talked about. And my very first sponsor, she would say, you know, they're really just words, and you have the ability to make them what you want, your own higher power or whatever. And the book was written, the steps were written with the name God, but you can put in there whatever you want. And that was helpful for me. And good orderly direction is usually an acronym that I would use for God today. And I don't feel prickly when I hear that. I just know this is just what we're talking about for a higher power. And let's see. And I know that today, my higher power can solve my problems. And I love the shares that we've already heard. And what I'm going to put out there is, you know, my sponsor tells me to reach out to other people, reach out. You need to make phone calls. And I just, for whatever reason, I just resist. And in the last day or two, I've been reaching out more. And I just feel so much better when I do that. I mean, there's my sponsor doesn't tell me that because she's just given me stuff to do. It's because it's shown to work when we talk with others and we hear other people's experience, strength and hope. I feel like I'm not by myself. I feel like I share the same defects with other people when I talk to others, when I reach out, whereas my disease wants me to stay isolated and not talk to others. But when I talk to a new person, I do try to keep everything kind of generic, and I do tell them I say God, but I don't have a religious God in my life, and please, you know, use the words that are comfortable for you. And that seems to work for my sponsees, at least at this point. And so thank you all for sharing your experience, strength, and hope, because that's how I get better. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me be of service. I'll pass.
Thank you, Debbie. Next, we have Meg W. from New Jersey.
Hi, my name is Meg W. from New Jersey. I'm a compulsive overeater. This is a really good reading. This is my first time sharing on this meeting, so this is like a big deal for me. But this is a good reading, and I really love all the shares so far. I know from my experience, I have used many different people, things, ideas as my higher power, and I have to say that worked for a while until it didn't. And I really like what was shared about being my, you know, higher power, or saying that, you know, the meeting saves me, or I can't, because I have tools that I use to feel connected and that I use to as a means to connect with my higher power. But for me, it got really dangerous, or I shouldn't say dangerous. You know, when I came into OA, yes, I came to lose weight and then, you know, loved the byproduct of the program, which is that I was able to get abstinent, which in my understanding now is that that was a miracle and a gift, I believe, because I could not do that on my own, right? Like this power that I struggled with. And when I came in, I loved the sense of freedom. I was no longer obsessed with food and what I was going to eat next. And, you know, I loved that it was like, okay, I just eat this and then this, you know, whatever. But that became the basis of my program. And it was for a long time. And, you know, I know different meetings have different purposes and focuses. And so I was going to a meeting for a long time, and it was all about, you know,
what the food. And again, very helpful in the beginning as I figure out, if I learn how to eat. However, my program sort of like evolved, I guess, into more so being reliant on a higher power, not what someone else said I could or couldn't eat. And I know for me, you know, just following my food plan to the T, and that, and I'm not saying that I don't follow my food plan, but having that be my whole program was actually the, you know, the opposite of what I came to love, which was the freedom that I had around food. So anyway, my, you know, relationship with the higher power has changed, you know, the longer I've been in OA. I love that. I love, you know, many spokes to the same wheel. I was raised in a particular religion that I no longer, I'm still giving myself permission to not be an active member of that religion, of that faith, whatever. But it's a process, and I'm grateful for all of you and who share your journey with your higher power in this way. So that's all I have to share. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you, Meg. I'm so glad that you shared with us today. Okay, we have Lisa B.
Sure, that wasn't Lisa J.R.
Okay, Lisa J.R.
Okay, I just didn't want to go if Lisa B. had chimed in. Hi, everybody. I'm Lisa J.R. from outside Baltimore, Maryland, gratefully recovered by God's grace one day at a time. And man, I love the shares. I love them because we are all so different and we all have a seat at the table here. It's a beautiful thing. A lot of this part of the big book, really, in this specific paragraph, just hit me in a way that the 12 and 12 says, it burst the prideful balloon. You know, as an adult child, I grew up having to be self-sufficient from an early age and having to take care of myself and protect myself emotionally and sometimes physically. So, I learned early on that self-sufficiency was king. And so it was really hard for me when I came into program, even though I have a faith walk, a strong faith walk with a higher power of my own choice. And I thought, you know, if I try to conjure up ideas about what that higher power looks like and I design it myself, then because of my pride and my selfishness and self-centeredness, you know, it's not going to be enough. That I need to think outside the box personally. I'm not saying that's true for everybody, but if I can design my own higher power, it's not going to work. But just that kernel of faith, that kernel of what is faith, you know, it's believing in something we can't see, knowing that we can and will eventually get through this program if we follow the steps, if we surrender. And surrender's hard. It took me years to surrender fully. But once I realized I couldn't do this in my own power and I had to rely on something outside of myself, the spiritual started to grow and the body started to decrease. So that's the beautiful part of this program. It is indeed spiritual. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa. And we have Jordan L. next. Star one, Jordan. Seems like we lost you, Jordan. Okay. Now I'm ready to take
Diane,
some more
I got to pass. I'm having puppy problems.
Okay. Thanks, Jordan. All right. So now I'll just take more names and names, last initial on your state, please.
Lane
Star one to unmute. Okay, Lane. Gotcha.
Mike C, Colorado.
I'm sorry, who was Colorado?
Mike C.
Gotcha, Mike. Thank you.
Lane G.
I got you, Elaine. You're great. We got you on the list.
Thank you.
Elaine G., Mike C., anybody else want to jump in? Star one to unmute.
Adele R.
Whoops, somebody R.
Adele.
Judith. Adele R. And then did I hear a Natalie?
Yep, Natalie.
Right, Natalie and Leslie. And Leslie. What was the last initial, Leslie?
MC.
Got it. Okay, so we have Elaine G., Mike. Okay, Judith R., was it?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Can you remind us which page we're on, please?
I'm sorry, what was your name?
Can you remind us which page we're on, please?
Oh, yes. Okay, of course. We're on page 45, second paragraph, starting with, well, that's exactly what this book is about. So our next lineup, Elaine G., Mike C., Adele R., Natalie, I didn't get your last initial, Leslie M.C., Judith R. So, Elaine, we can start with you. Star one to unmute, please.
This is Elaine from New York. I was thinking about when I read this paragraph that, before I came into OA and even now, my family doesn't believe too much in HP. I mean, when I used to talk about HP or God, my father said, "What? God? I mean, what's this all about, And it was more like a punishing God. I mean, if you're going to be bad, you're going to get punished, And so when it came in, it was hard. It was hard. I used to pray for my mom when she was not feeling well, before I came into the program, So I did a little bit of that. And when I try to do things my way, everything gets screwed up. I become fearful. I become fearful. And especially when I'm not abstinent, I'm very fearful I get, about doing anything, Now, today, my housekeeper's coming, and I ask God, please let me make this meeting today. Give me the willingness to do the things I put on my action plan, and also to go over to the Y to get together with some people my age, And because I seem to be picking people that are not available for me, and beside that, I seem to get upset about how they are, and it's called, mindful aerobics. I thought it sounded interesting, But anyway, I'm asking God all day long today, just give me the willingness to do the things I need to do. And usually when I do that, everything works out great in the day. But then when I take my will back, oh no, it's like a horror. Like when I went on this vacation to Pennsylvania, I knew my gut feeling that I shouldn't have gone because my alcoholic son and his rage. And I wanted to be with my grandchildren, and it was pretty horrible. It was pretty horrible, yelling, screaming, typical alcoholic. And, I've learned the rude awakening. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Elaine. Next, we have Mike C. from Colorado.
Hi, I'm Mike C. from Colorado, and I'm a compulsive overeater. This is my second time on A Vision for You, and it's my first time sharing, and I want to start by saying thank you for this group and for the way that you serve everyone who is serving. On my last meeting 1 week ago, I was lovingly ambushed by over 10 phone calls in the next 48 hours, and I am tearing up right now as I think about that because I just felt so much love and support and care. And my sponsor said, as we began the process of working through the big book about 2 weeks ago, and I'm 3 months in the program, she said, "Welcome home." And it really has felt like that. The passage this morning applies to me in a particular way because I'm a clergy member, and I believe in what I call sometimes circumstantial atheism, And so I've made my living around God and helping others. And yet I've only recently realized that I've quote, believed in, surrendered, and trusted my higher power in every area, but with my food and with the obsessive thinking. And I've now been abstinent for 2 weeks, and I've not actually been tempted with food, but the temptation for me has been with the obsessive thinking. And it's been so helpful through many recordings I've listened to from this group to learn the difference between the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. And so this morning, I really need my higher power, which I've turned to already this morning and hope to multiple times through the day, to help me with three lies I'm believing in particular. One is that I don't need to do 3 meetings a week. I can just get by with the bare minimum. The second is I don't need a food plan. And the third is that this is going to be a short-term process for me because I'm going to lick this and kind of get the knowledge and apply the techniques. But only my higher power can restore me to sanity. And all day, every day, one day at a time, I'm learning to surrender in a way that there can be long-term internal change to bring healing and clarity and recovery to my thinking. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Mike. Keep coming back. I'm so glad that you jumped in today. Next, we have Adele R., and I don't have your state, Adele.
This is Adele R. I'm a compulsive eater in Kansas City. Thank you, everyone, for your shares. And it's just so clarifying to me to hear myself expressed and to hear people's experience, strength, and hope. I just have so much gratitude to each person living this life and sharing their recovery. I love the sentence, its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. And I thought my problem was the food and the weight, and it was, it is, it always, I'm a compulsive eater. And as I work this program, I see that my problem is also that I'm competitive and I'm controlling. I get to see my character defects, and these also are my problem. And they're all intimately connected to me finding this power. Like when I admit that I have no power over this problem, something in this book, these steps, this instruction has shown me, as I'm willing to take the steps, that there is a power that cares about this. And the most peaceful place I've come to with just this word is that the force is with me. The force is with me, and this force cares about the health of my body and my mind. And this force wants me to connect with others and to be of service. So again, thank you to all, everyone who's on this line, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Adele. Next, we have Natalie, and if you could give us the initial of your last name and your state, please.
Yeah, thank you. The last initial is S, like Sam, and I am in Arizona, and I am new to the program, but I have come to see myself as a compulsive overeater with restriction tendencies. So a lot of my earlier years has been around anorexia and exercise bulimia. And I guess as I've been listening in the rooms, and I'm grateful that I've finally found a sponsor, I've come to see a couple things about God. And one of the things that I find myself doing is I try to put God in a box, and I try to define him, and then put my image of him, not necessarily upon other people, but it changes my perspective. And one of the great things that I find about this program, allowing everybody to have their own higher power, is that it pulls God out of that box, and there's freedom to see him in different ways. And I think that's just beautiful, because I hear that on a lot of these sharings. And in my personal experience, I've found, and I feel like he's growing me stronger to see that my disease and this allergy, which was a new concept to me in looking at it, because it is around food and there's all sorts of family things around that, is that it's really kind of a blessing in disguise, and that it's his ticket. I heard this expressed that the disease is the entrance ticket to a relationship with him. And when stress happens, I just am so grateful, and I'm growing in gratitude that this framework, these steps as I'm learning them, allows me to not only live peacefully and to have a generosity of heart, but it really keeps me sane. I had the bittersweet pleasure of watching my dad, who's now 86, 7 years ago, have a freak fall, very independent, and he became immediately paralyzed. And the helplessness that he had and the reliance that he had on other people, I reflect on that a lot, and I see how it has changed him. And I believe that it's impacted his life with the relationship. That was his ticket, so to speak, into experiencing his higher power or God. And this is mine. And it, I'm just growing in gratitude. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalie. Next, we have Leslie MC. And we need your state, please.
Hi, this is Leslie MC from Cincinnati, Ohio. Just showing up, glad to be able to participate here today. I don't feel like I have a lot to say, so I'm just going to share my experience in this paragraph. When I started in OA in 2003, I came from a very religious mother. We went to church on Sundays, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. And I had said, when I graduate from school, I will never, ever go to church anymore in my life. So my main issue with church and religion was the fact that I never really saw anybody change. I saw a lot of people go to church, and then the behavior when they came home was the same. Well, when I came to OA in 2003, I was just amazed. I had never really experienced so much love. And so my first higher power was the group. And, you know, when I think about the intelligence, group intelligence is smarter than the individual. So it was definitely a higher power than mine. But then over the course of time and working the steps and spending more time with people like you, God broke open my concept, because it wasn't enough. The group wasn't enough. And just God has broken that wide open. And so glad to have vision here today that reminds me of my craving and my mental blank spot. And even today, someone reminded me of that my obsessive thinking doesn't just mean obsession over the food. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Leslie. Next, we have Judith R.
Hi, thank you so much. Judith R., gratefully recovered in Vermont. And I am just so full of God's love this morning because I listened to the 7 o'clock vision meeting as a recording, and it was so powerful that I just had to listen to this one too. And as I've been hearing everybody speak, it's been fascinating because my higher power saw that I was kind of very much in need of God. And so God found me about 5 years before I found OA, but then God showed me OA. And I'm so grateful for the expansion of God that the 12 steps has provided for me. And as I was listening to people talk about surrender, I mean, I remember when I was first told about the concept, and it was so scary. I thought, well, what if God sends me to Africa? And now, 50 years later, I'm like, well, when is God going to finally send me to Africa? I really want to go to Africa, because they start dancing before the minister even shows up. But anyway, surrender. So, you know, I surrendered my life, and I'm not sure if I... The thing is, now I have to surrender my will in each moment. And so, because surrender... That initial idea that you're going to surrender yourself to something else, it's like, what? But once you get the idea, it's like, okay, that is a really good idea, because I can't do it. I can't run my life. So I'm just thinking that today, so God wants me to surrender little tiny things, and it's called dying to myself. And I used to think it had to be really, really, really big things, but now it's like, no, it can be a tiny thing, and I can offer it as a prayer for people who are struggling and suffering all over the world. So thank you, Vision for You, for being able to articulate so much about God's love. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Judith. We have about a minute and a half left if somebody wants to jump in. Star one.
Leah A.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so thank you for all your service. I really enjoyed this meeting. My name is Leah A, and I live in Montreal, Canada. So yes, this idea of my own conception of God was really life-changing. For me, you know, the two-way prayer has changed my life, where, you know, I improve my conscious contact with my higher power. And this has been very beneficial to me. It allowed me to really see the dishonesties that, you know, I have in my head, because I get stuck in my head, especially when it comes to future tripping or catastrophizing. And, you know, it helps me to stay in the present and to realize that I don't need to go in the future where I don't know what will happen. So when I started, you know, my sponsor asked me to write down the characteristics of my own conception of my higher power. And it was really a game changer, where I realized, you know, my higher power is kind and forgiving, and he cares about me, and he's with me all the time, and I'm not alone. And that really changed the perception I had as a child, having been brought up in a Christian environment. And here, you know, in this program, we see our character defects, and our higher power help us to see what is the virtue, what is the turnaround of these character defects, where we pray and we ask God to remove these character defects, you know. And this has been, you know, helped me to grow spiritually, and it's been so important for me. You know, someone mentioned about obsessive thinking. I'm not only addicted and obsessed about the food, but I'm also obsessive about my thinking. And when I start, you know, going down the rabbit hole, so I ask God to help me. I want to have more effort in getting my getting conscious contact with my higher power, because I struggle to meditate and pray every day. But whenever I do, it has really changed my mind. And I always say that the 12 steps is not only for addicts, right? This 12 step is designed for living for everyone, in my opinion, right? That everyone can benefit from it.
Just a reminder.
And surrendering it hasn't been easy, but, you know, it taught me to feel my feelings, the discomfort, the anger, and to use all the tools I have in OA. Thank you so much for listening, and I pass.
Thank you. Thanks, Leah, for finishing us up.
And so that was a great meeting. Thank you, everyone. Let's see, we're going here. We'll now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Dana P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I will, Diane. This is Dana P. Thank you for being our leader here in the month of November. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.